Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Today, 1 week out from the NFL Draft. Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg, and Deebo Samuel is not on the show. Kind of sounded like he was joining us. He's not happy right now. He wants a trade, so we are going to talk about that. Woo! All right, you guys ready for this upcoming week? Or I guess really 10 days, these 3 days. Forget day three. Day three is boring. The next 8 days or so. Gonna be fun.
Day three for us is gonna be probably the busiest day.
For all of us? For me as well?
No, I mean for fantasy purposes. I mean, you're gonna see a lot of guys go day three.
Yeah, but they don't matter as much. You know that.
But day three will be the busiest day because getting rankings and all those things updated after day one and day two. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see who the players are that go in the order different than we think they should, whether it's the quarterbacks, whether maybe it's those top three running backs or the receivers, like, and then how do we react to that?
So I just want to be clear, Heath, day three is going to be a lot busier for you than it is for me, right? Since I don't have rankings to update.
I don't think you are going to do anything at all on day three, except for maybe a podcast in the evening.
I might go out to lunch, but yeah.
Will you actually watch the draft?
Yeah, no, not on day three. A little bit.
You know, there's an app you can use to follow the draft that will have a wonderful show.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it before?
I have. Sorry, I'm looking something up. Yes, I have heard of it. CBS Sports app, CBS Sports HQ. Follow the draft live there. It's going to be great. I have a question for you guys in just a second, but I wanted to get these props for Ahmad Gardner. I think I was listening to the Pick Six podcast on Monday. They were talking about player props for, you know, over under where they're going to be picked. So, for example, 3.5 for Thibodeau, I think. Under means he'd be drafted in the first three picks, over fourth pick or later. But for Gardner, I think it was 7.5. And I don't know that. I feel like if one quarterback goes, that means Gardner's probably not going to be in the first seven picks. So that was an interesting one to me. But my question to start the show before we get into Deebo Samuel, who do you think is going number one in the NFL draft, Jamie?
It's such a crazy, crazy top because if I'm the Jaguars, I'm taking one of the linemen. You know, I know they brought back Cam Robinson, but to me, Evan Neal is just such a stud. It'd be hard to pass on him. But conventional wisdom would probably say they're taking Aiden Hutchinson to take the best defensive lineman, or at least on paper. So if I was betting, I'd probably bet Hutchinson. But if it's me, I'm taking Neal.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Walker, just because it's Jacksonville. And, you know, yeah. Why don't they do something different than what everybody else thinks they should?
Trayvon Walker is definitely a name getting a lot of buzz.
He's awesome.
Could go a lot of ways. He has 9.5 sacks in his career. So that's kind of this production versus upside debate. Out of Georgia. I'm basically just echoing what I just heard on my morning commute from listening to Ryan Wilson and Will Brinson talk about it. But
your morning commute, where? From your bedroom to the office?
Taking my kid to school. good podcast. But yeah, I mean, he played out of position at Georgia and all that, but Ryan, who we're going to have on next week, does not think Trayvon Walker should be the number one pick.
No, neither does Pete Prisco.
I think we should go back to your poo-pooing of day three, though. Yeah. Like, who was the highest scoring day three pick last year at each position?
Okay.
I think the number two quarterback was a day three pick, right?
But as rookies, they're not going to do much.
Oh, as rookies. Okay.
Who was the number two? Who was the number two quarterback, by the way? Oh, Tom Brady?
Tom Brady.
Yeah. No, as rookies, they don't contribute much. And I'll probably watch the fourth round.
Like Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah. No, sometimes they do. Sometimes.
St. Brown, right?
Amon-Ra St. Brown was a day three pick. Yep.
Michael Carter.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was he day three or was he the end of
round
three?
Was the best rookie quarterback a day three pick?
Mac Jones.
Davis Mills round three or round four?
Mac Jones was better. I mean, in fantasy points.
Davis Mills, I believe, was round three.
That's disappointing.
Once you get past round four, fine. I'll give you the first round of day three. All right. Anyway, let me tell you what's coming up next week. We have had a really busy, very fun week. Monday is going to be Ryan Wilson and Dan Schneier, I believe, scheduled to come on the show to do kind of a mock draft, ideal landing spots, that type of thing. Tuesday, we're going to talk about the NFL, current NFL veteran players who have the most to gain or lose based on who their teams draft in the first round and then beyond. Wednesday, we're going to have a mailbag. So you can get your questions in at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And also, you can leave us an Apple Podcast review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcast with your question. That'll basically guarantee you're getting your question read on a show. And then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we will be reacting after each round. So it might be a midnight to 1 a.m. kind of deal. We might start at 1 a.m. on Thursday. I don't know. But we'll have instant reaction to round one, then round two on Friday night, and then rounds two and three on Friday night, and then rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. Last thing before we get into Debo, we do have to talk about this. If you want to get in our podcast league, there's a way to get in. Fill out the form in the episode description with your prediction of the top 10 picks of the NFL draft. Whoever is closest to the exact order gets the spot. The link is in the episode description. All you have to do is guess the players. You don't have to tell us which teams, but the order of the players in the top 10, and you have to spell the names correctly. If you don't, you're not going to get credit for it.
So somebody goes 10 for 10, but they spelled the name wrong, but they hit a fat thumbs, you're going to penalize them?
It's not me. It's being filled out on a Google form that Schrager's going to sort by correct answers, and he's not going to sort for all the different spellings of all the names. So it's not like we're penalizing you to be jerks. It's just we're not going to see the answer if you don't spell the name right. So
get you making Schrager do it now?
Get someone with thinner thumbs. Jamie, let's talk about Debo Samuel.
Wait, no, there's also another way to get in. If you say something nice about Adam to me on Twitter, I'll let you in the podcast week.
Nobody's going to do that. All right, news and notes. Debo Samuel has requested a trade. Reportedly, the Niners have no interest in trading him. It's a contract thing or whatever it might be. Obviously, the contract is a big part of it. So we're going to play a game called Finding Debo. We're going to get two teams from Heath that, if he were traded there, it would increase Debo's value. And then two teams that would decrease Debo's value if he were traded there. Heath, give me two teams in which you would rank. You currently have Debo Samuel at wide receiver 9. And Jamie and Dave have him at wide receiver 8 in PPR. Two teams that would go higher than 9 for you.
I'll play the game in a little different form because I really don't think if Debo Samuel gets traded anywhere, I'm going to rank him higher than 9th. So I'm not sure that works, but the best place by far I think he could get traded would be the Packers, where he could go be Aaron Rodgers' number one wide receiver, and maybe they wouldn't ask him to do the things that apparently he doesn't want to do anymore. Number two I struggle with, but I guess I'd say Kansas City. Like, those are probably the two places where I'd have him ranked the highest if he went to those two places. But I don't. Man, there's already, for me at least, so much uncertainty about how much of what he did last year he can replicate. And I would have more of those concerns if he was on a different team.
Okay. So if he gets traded to the Packers, would you move him ahead of Chris Godwin or Keenan Allen?
I don't believe I would, no.
Okay. Jamie, give me two teams that you would lower Debo's ranking of 8 if he were traded to.
I mean, I generally agree with Heath that if he gets traded, especially if it's not like the Packers is the most obvious win for him. But if he were to go probably anywhere else, he would, I think, fall outside the top 10 for me. Not that far, but, you know, outside the top 10 for sure. I'll just go with the teams that have a need. The one that makes the most sense, which I think is the team that's probably the most in on him, would be the Jets, because if they're going to be in on Tyreek Hill and it's his former coaching staff, or at least, you know, coaches that worked on the staff when he was there in San Francisco, while he that were in San Francisco with him, in terms of Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur. I think that's, you know, a spot where you could certainly see the Jets going all in and Debo's value going all out, you know, essentially, because his receiving numbers, I don't know if they would crater, but they would certainly fall off. And if they're using him as a rusher, I don't know if he'd have the same amount of touchdown success. So that would be the concern. His rushing numbers, rushing yards might still be the same, but his touchdowns, I think, would fall off a little bit. And then the other one would be the Falcons, because they already have a clone. So that, you know, if you just want to have fun with that, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson is basically the same type of guy that Debo Samuel was last year, more of a rusher than a receiver in terms of how the numbers shook out, but obviously similar type of hybrid player. So we know that the Falcons have a need for a receiver. And if they were to, you know, jump into the mix there, I think it could get ugly for Debo Samuel's fantasy value.
Okay, so we're going to play another game. Would he be top 12 if he went to blank? And 12 for Jamie is T. Higgins. 12 for Heath is Tyreek Hill, who's actually much higher for Dave and Jamie. I'm sorry, 12 for Jamie is Mike Evans. Higgins is 13 for you. So Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, these are the types of names we're looking at in this range for, depending on which analyst you're talking about. Would Debo Samuel be a top 12 wide receiver if he were traded to Philadelphia?
No.
No.
Dallas.
I just want to put the caveat that if Chris Godwin's not ready to go, then he'd be ahead of Godwin. Dallas. That's an interesting one. No.
Man, I don't even know for sure that I would rank him ahead of CeeDee Lamb if he was in Dallas. So I want to say
no, I would not either.
That was going to be my next question. New England.
No.
No.
Baltimore.
No.
No.
Houston.
No.
No.
Indianapolis.
No.
You know, that's an interesting one because I think they certainly have a need, and I would expect them to, you know, maximize his potential similar to what San Francisco has, but I don't think he would be as good. So no. But they just don't have the draft capital to get him, I don't think, without a first round pick.
Okay, let me do one more. How about New Orleans? No.
Nope.
How about Jacksonville? But don't that. No. Come on, number one receiver for up and coming quarterback?
No.
No.
All right. More.
Also, they just gave Christian Kirk $20 million and started this whole wide receiver mess. They can't give Debo 25.
I guess they could. A couple other news items. Tua Tagovailoa, I saw an interesting quote for him. He just said, really, the biggest thing for us is yak, which of course is yards after catch. We want to yak the heck out of teams. So that, that's the 49ers. It's not necessarily what you think of with Tyreek Hill or, I guess I'd stand by that. But what do you think? I mean, how do you think Waddle and Hill fit in with we want to yak the heck out of teams?
I mean, you know, when you have speed like that, it makes a ton of sense. You know, find ways to get them in space and let them do what they do. So
that was one of the surprising things about Waddle last year was that the way he was targeted, he didn't have more yak, right?
Yeah, I think that was more a byproduct of that offensive line being as terrible as it was. Like, you know, there was so many times where Tua puts his foot in the ground and there's a guy in his face. And so, you know, hopefully with the additions that they've made and may continue to make, that unit is better, or just they play better under a new coach, you know, with the additions of Armstead and Connor Williams. So, you know, Tua has more time, Mike McDaniel's system. Yeah, I'd buy in for sure. For Gesicki also.
And the last note I had, not a lot today, but I really don't like Kadarius Toney not reporting to voluntary workouts for the Giants. I don't know if it was a personal issue or something like that, but you'd really like to see him there. New coaching staff doesn't have a playbook. And yeah, I mean, for a guy that you're hoping can kind of capitalize on his talent, we know he has talent. Yeah. Does this bother you, Heath, that Kadarius Toney did not report for the start of the Giants workouts, which of course are voluntary?
Yeah, he's not in my rankings, so I'm not going to move him down. But no, he's in my top 150. That's not fair. But yeah, I would like it more if he was there. I'd like an explanation. Not
Jamie,
sure I deserve one.
Does it matter? Does it make any difference to you, Jamie?
I mean, you know, if there wasn't a pattern of injuries last year and, you know, I don't think he was disgruntled, but I don't know that he wasn't last season. And, you know, I saw some quote, I forget who it was, about just the attitude difference for the Giants. I don't know who said it. You know, coming off the meeting with the media, the voluntary practice, but you know, they said that the feeling in the building is different, which you probably understand.
I think Xavier McKinney said something about that, and I think Joe Judge was, I don't know if he was kind of a stickler. It's a little bit more laid back now, but also, you know, determined, and it's kind of the same stuff you see whenever there's a new coach. But
that's what I'm saying. It's not anything to read into, but you know, you'd like to see everybody on board. You know, and so, like you said, hopefully it's not injury related. And he dealt with so much last year for Tony. He's got so much upside. I mean, especially, you know, with Brian Daboll coming in and, you know, is Galladay the one? Is Shepard even healthy? Can he get ready for the start of the season? You know, there's just so many ifs with this receiving core that Tony's got such a path to success if he's right. I mean, we saw the upside last year in those two or three games, but that was really it. And so, you know, I'm hopeful. And I think if you're in the Kadarius Toney market to be buying him, your window is wide open right now.
All right. By the way, today's topic, which I should have mentioned 15 minutes ago, is early average draft position review. We're going to look at the NFC draft since the day after the Tyreek Hill trade, about 15 drafts or so, and just some of the trends we're seeing, including Cooper Kupp going second overall. Before we do that, I want to give a random advanced stat and see if you care about this at all. Tony Pollard, over the last three seasons, has ranked first, third, and 13th in the PFF, Pro Football Focus, elusiveness rating. It's, I don't know. It's kind of a fun thing that people like, I guess. First, third, and 13th, that's among halfbacks with a minimum of 50 carries. If you make it a minimum of 100 carries last year, he would have been ninth. But he's been statistically, because I figured we were probably going to talk about Michael Carter today. So I was just looking to see how Michael Carter rated with the advanced stats on PFF, and he ranked very well last year. But then I just went back a few years, and Tony Pollard keeps showing up near the top of the list. Heath, does that matter to you that PFF thinks he's a pretty damn elusive runner?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more about how many touches is he going to get. It makes him more appealing as a potential handcuff or backup to Zeke, because if something does happen and Ezekiel Elliott doesn't play through the injury like he has the past couple of years, but misses a month or two, then Pollard could be one of those league-winning running backs. I'm still not sure, like, between the tackles that they would use him in the same way they have Elliott if there was no Elliott. But
I was going to say, if there was no Elliott, let's just say they traded him or you know, suffered an injury or won the lottery, as Dave likes to say, where would you rank Tony Pollard? Like, it'd be hard to keep him out of the top 10. if there's no Zeke.
Yeah, I think he would have every bit the case to be not too far from like DeAndre Swift range, which is the bottom of the top 10. I'm not sure it'd be a big difference between him and Javonte Williams.
That was the guy I was thinking of, you know, just in terms of unproven, but you know the potential's there and you know the superstar potential's there, you know, so like that, man.
Yeah, it's a great setup. And in limited work, he has been a very effective running back, but never had a huge workload season, a career high 130 carries for Tony Pollard last year. We will take a break. When we come back, early average draft position trends. We'll tell you about them, what you need to know, right after this on Fantasy Football Today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Welcome back. Reminder, everybody, to click the link in the episode description, join our NFL draft contest, and spell the names right. Because when Jamie goes through all of the entries, he's going to be sorting by correct spelling of the last
name. If you spell their names wrong, but you get all 10 right, I will let you in the podcast league.
I will too, because nobody's getting all 10 right. I could guarantee you that. So, early average draft position, since the day after the Tyreek Hill trade, which is about a month now, has Cooper Kupp as the number two pick on NFC, which is typically half PPR. Jamie, what do you think about that? When do you think Cooper Kupp should go, and why do you think he is number two behind Jonathan Taylor?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, there's really a lot of uncertainty after Taylor. I mean, you know, you can make the case for Eckler and what he did last year and hopefully replicating that. You can make the case for McCaffrey based on his upside when he's healthy, but clearly we know the downside. Same thing for Derrick Henry, you know, as long as he's back at 100%. I don't know, and Adam, I don't have the ADP in front of me, so I don't know who's 3, 4, and 5. I would assume those guys are close to that, if not in 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a second.
But in terms of Kupp, you know, as we've seen this offseason, you know, where there was the conversation about Adams or Kupp, and I know just because I wrote the story, and I don't know if you ever changed it at any point, Heath, but I know Adams was number one for you right after the season when we did our top 10s. So he was in the conversation. Adams was for number one receiver. Now Kupp clearly is ahead of him. Tyreek Hill getting traded. You know, I don't know how many people are going to take Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, as much as you may love them, over Cooper Kupp. And the fact that as of now, his competition is Allen Robinson in terms of, you know, competing for the top targets. You know, they haven't brought back Odell Beckham yet. And if they do bring back Beckham, he's still coming off an ACL tear. So there may be even bigger opportunity for Cooper Kupp if that's possible. So if you're looking at it and you have that second pick, you know, it for me, when I saw this in your notes, it was what's the two rounds that follow that? And based on the drafts that we've done, you're looking at still getting another potential wide receiver in round two in the range of a Deebo Samuel, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans type of guy, which is not a bad start. But it's even better from what you get in round three. So you can still be looking at Leonard Fournette or Antonio Gibson or Josh Jacobs or David Montgomery, one of those guys. And you come away with, you know, still a potential top 10 running back and two top tier receivers. Or if you want to go a different route, Mark Andrews in round two, two running backs, rounds two and round three.
Can I interrupt and just tell you some of the names that, you know, you based on the ADP that we're using today? Okay. So Jonathan Taylor is one, Kupp is two, and then Eckler, McCaffrey, Henry are 3, 4, 5. But if you're talking about, all right, I got to choose between, you could even, if you're in a full PPR league, Cooper Kupp had 105 more catches than Jonathan Taylor last year. So not saying that's going to repeat, but I could see a case for him being one if you want to go that route, like people used to do with Antonio Brown. Who are you looking at, let's say, end of round two, beginning of round three in a 12-team league? I'll start with pick 22. Josh Allen is pick 21. So pick 22 is A.J. Brown, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Mark Andrews, Antonio Gibson, Cam Akers, Mike Evans. So you could start your team with Cooper Kupp, maybe Nick Chubb, any two of Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, Antonio Gibson, Cam Akers, or throw in a wide receiver there, A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, or Mark Andrews could be there too. So that's a pretty decent case to take Cooper Kupp in round.
It's an amazing one, case,
right? With the first or second pick.
And the thing, like we were just talking about Deebo, and there's some connection there for me because we'd never seen anything like that from Deebo before. And he and Kupp were kind of the major outliers. But if you look at what Kupp was the 3 years before, his 17 game pace from those 3 years was 99 catches, 1200 yards and 8 touchdowns. Like and that's with Jared Goff. So yeah, he's not going to do what he did last year, but he had such a high base coming into that year with a worse quarterback that I think you feel more secure about him coming closer to that probably than the running backs. I have him 6 or 7, and I kind of want to move Kupp a little bit higher.
It's the same.
So what do you think right now? I actually, I think just looking at that, him being number two and having the conversation first with Heath a couple days ago on FFT and five, and right now, it opened my eyes a little bit to getting out of the mindset, the kind of old school mentality that the first five picks or so have to be running backs, or even that the first two or three picks have to be running backs. And it's, you know, I've talked about this a lot when we've talked dynasty. It's just kind of a maybe transition period at running back, where Jamie already mentioned it. A lot of question marks with those guys. Maybe we, you know, open our minds a little bit and put Cup high. So where do you think the highest you could conceivably put Cooper Cup would be?
Two.
It's more about the
build. It's not necessarily about just looking at the first round. Right. It's about how you build your first three picks. And like I said, you laid that out perfectly.
Yeah, I'm going to move him up to five. But I don't think unless something happens to one of them, I don't think I'll probably rank him ahead of Taylor, Eckler, Henry, or McCaffrey.
The thing about specifically, I think, McCaffrey and Henry is you've seen their ceilings and they're still young enough where it's not that out of the realm of possibility for them to get close to that again. I mean, obviously McCaffrey, for what he can be, if healthy, you know, you go back really, I think two seasons ago, the first year for Matt Rhule when he played the three games.
Jamie, I got to hop off for like 2 minutes. All right. Can you take over for me?
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. All right. Jamie's going to.
When he had those three games and was still in the same point per game range as he was the year before when he was a record setter. Now, again, it's a small sample size, but at least it showed you under Matt Rhule that he could be that caliber of player again. And he wasn't so far off when you removed the games that he left last year. So, you know, I think that's what you're kind of looking at. But, you know, I think, again, if you're just talking about how you build your team, you know, Heath, if you extend that and you go McCaffrey, A.J. Brown, Antonio Gibson, do you like that as much as Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown, or A.J. Brown, excuse me, Nick Chubb, for example, you know, however the first three picks go, like which start do you like better? Or Henry, you know, throw whatever running back you want there.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that A.J. Brown and Mark Andrews are possibilities at the 2-3 turn makes me, I think, lean a little bit more towards those top four running backs. If I could come out of the first three picks with McCaffrey, A.J. Brown, and Mark Andrews, I'd feel pretty fantastic about it. And I think I'm not probably quite as high on Chubb, especially in PPR, or right now on Antonio Gibson, because it doesn't seem like Washington's very high on him. So I think I might like the wide receiver tight end combo at the 2-3 turn more than I do the running backs.
Understandably so. It'll probably come down to personal preference, but
yeah,
you know, it's going to be fun. You know, we're going to start to do a lot more mock drafts, obviously following the NFL draft. I think the highest I've seen Cup go in our few drafts that we've done has been fifth overall. So top five pick, I think it's hard to get away from of what he can be. All right, next guy we're going to look at here is Patrick Mahomes, who's still the number two quarterback. He's going in the same range as Justin Herbert. For me, Mahomes right now is fifth, but I have all the top five guys bunched up, essentially. You know, Josh Allen won, but 2, 3, 4, and 5. For me, it's Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady, and then Mahomes. I can certainly see myself flipping Mahomes and Brady if Mahomes gets a significant piece in the NFL draft and Godwin's not ready to go. But basically, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all very close. Where do you have Mahomes currently ranked right now following the Tyreek Hill trade?
Yeah, he's at 4 for me, but the same thing you said. Like, I've got Allen on a little bit of a pedestal. I don't have Brady in the class with Herbert, Jackson, and Mahomes, but those three guys are separated by like 4.5 points for the entire season in my projections. I don't envision with those three right there together, I'm going to get very much Patrick Mahomes, because Lamar Jackson seems to be going two rounds after Herbert and Mahomes in most of our mock drafts. And I think in ADP as well. I mean, it sounds like Herbert and Mahomes are kind of tied for second behind Josh Allen, and then Jackson's fifth or sixth. So I think the value in early ADP for me is Jackson. I think there's a chance that Mahomes is still number one. I think he's in that group for sure. But without Tyreek Hill, and right now having not replaced him with anyone but Juju, I'd put him fourth.
Hey, guys.
I think the thing, Adam, we're talking about Mahomes and Herbert. The thing with Mahomes is, you know, you heard the comment earlier that he made this week about the height of his receivers. You know, not ever having, you know, guys like that. I don't think it was a shot at Tyreek Hill, but it was, you know, certainly having some taller guys in Juju and MVS. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do. You know, that's the biggest key is, you know, do they Do they address the position in the first round? Is it more of a day two or day three, you know, backfill kind of, you know, not just replacing Tyreek Hill, because they may have feel like they may feel like they've already done that per se, not from a talent standpoint, just from a body standpoint. But they also have to replace Byron Pringle. Let's not forget about that. So, you know, I think it's the caliber of player that they still bring in. And then it's, you're buying into Mahomes' talent. Clearly you're buying into Andy Reid and sort of how do they correct some of the coverages and the adjustments that teams made against them. Clearly they don't have the same, you know, speed and skill combination. Cause I think Marcus Valdes-Scantling is certainly fast enough. He's not Tyreek Hill fast, but he's fast enough. And so how do they replace, you know, Tyreek Hill and adjust to what teams are throwing at them?
All right. Shall we move on?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure that was a very interesting discussion. Sorry, I missed it. Leonard Fournette versus James Conner. They are separated by 20 picks. Leonard Fournette, 19th overall in this early ADP, which is, again, about a month old now, 14 or 15 drafts. Leonard Fournette, 19th overall. James Conner, 39th overall. Heath, do you feel like that's too big of a gap?
Yeah, I have Fournette slightly ahead of James Conner. I think they're both late round two picks or early round three picks. And so, again, like this is a situation where I love the fact that I can get Conner a round or two later. I don't really know why. They've both shown, and it was a bigger sample size for Fournette last year, but they've both shown the ability to be top three or four running backs. If one of these teams goes and drafts a running back, then I would guess that will impact it next week. But as of right now, I think they're both borderline number ones worth a pick at the end of round two.
What do you think about the gap? 20 picks, Fournette 19th, Conner 39th, Jamie.
I mean, I love the value for Conner, clearly. You know, he said it. You know, he was great last year in the five games that Chase Edmonds missed. He was clearly still successful playing in tandem with Edmonds. And obviously the coaching staff, I don't know if they made the decision, we're going with Conner over Edmonds if Edmonds wanted out, because he was the first running back who signed in free agency. But I remember Cliff Kingsbury saying at the combine, we can't bring both back. We're going to bring one back, you know, and maybe they had made their decision at that point. These two guys terrify me because of, you know, just the nature of, I think Fournette is due to probably have some sort of injury that's going to cause him to miss time if he's going to handle as much work as he does again this year. If they don't address, you know, bringing in a second guy, I don't think Giovanni Bernard is the answer. I don't think Keyshawn Vaughn is the answer, you know, so they may add another running back in the draft, probably not very high. And then I expect the Cardinals to bring in somebody else, you know, whatever somebody else might be. I don't think, you know, Benjamin's going to be the second guy there. So, they're very close. And for me, it's really, it's not just these two. It's the group of Antonio Gibson, Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs. I might be missing somebody in that group. You know, Nick Chubb's a little bit ahead of them for me, but I can certainly see if you want to put him in that category as well, especially in PPR, of, you know, where there could be somebody else. In some cases, there is somebody else. You know, some of the flaws you see, you know, for Gibson, for example, you know, will he catch passes now that McKissick back? Catch pass the level that we saw at the end of that last season. Now that McKissick is back, you know, so I'm torn on where these guys should be in terms of their running back rankings. But I think, as Heath said, to me that whole group is essentially the back end of round two to the middle of round three, or maybe the end of round three. You know, depending on how your team is looking, they all should go in that range, including James Conner.
James Conner played six games without Chase Edmonds, and he was basically the second best running back in fantasy. His pace, his 17-game pace in six games without Edmonds. Edmonds played one snap in one of them, so I'm not counting that. 1,800. I don't even think that's an Azer stat. Like, who's counting that game? 1,884 total yards, 85 catches, 29 touchdowns. That was his pace, and he averaged something like 22 fantasy points per game in full PPR. It was pretty incredible. So, okay, next topic here is round four and late round three. I think very risky. And you tell me what you think, and is there still a lot of upside here? So about the last two picks of round three, about 34th overall is where I'm picking this up, 34th, 35th. I guess 34th would be the last three picks. Saquon Barkley, DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, Jalen Waddle, Josh Jacobs, James Conner, Kyle Pitts, Ezekiel Elliott, Dobbins, Burrow, David Montgomery, Elijah Mitchell, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin. Now, Godwin, the way he lasts that long if he's healthy, so we can, and that's pick 48. But I was playing this game in my head. What is Heath laughing at? What did I say that was bad, that was embarrassing, that Heath is laughing at? Is that what happened? That is usually not that. I'm usually just self-conscious, but Heath's laughing. So I'd like to know what's so funny.
I was not laughing at you. I was kind of laughing at those running back names. Like the dead zone conversation is going to be so interesting this year, because I don't remember having that many names and talents that have produced like some of these guys have over the last couple of years. I mean, David Montgomery was what, the number six running back 2 years ago and 13 or 14 last year, and he's at the back of this list. Yeah. And then at wide receiver too, like, is there any upside of this group, you ask? And then we've got DeAndre Hopkins and DK Metcalf and Jalen Waddle. Like, there's enormous amounts of upside. They just all these guys have warts. Except, I mean, and Connor does too. Like, we talked about him. He's got the injury warts. I don't mind this group at all. It is risky.
Yeah.
But the amount of upside that's available at the 3-4 turn. This is the point last year, I think, where we might be started taking a couple of the quarterbacks, because all the really league winning players were kind of off the board. Maybe it'll be that way again by the time we get to August.
I would imagine, though, like you're saying, Burrow in this range. So this range is typically for us where the quarterbacks will start to go, at least the way we'll tell people to draft, you know. So, you know, this is where you'll see Allen and maybe whoever's number two, you know, Lamar, Mahomes, Herbert, you know, that group, I think, will start to come off the board here. Pitts is fascinating in this spot, in this range. You know, could be amazing. Obviously, you know, could be just as good as he was last year, and you'll feel a little bit disappointed if he doesn't score more touchdowns. It's the older players. You know, this is where you're starting to see the majority of the names you listed there feel like they're older guys, or, you know, guys that are in situations that feel a little crappy because of what happened to them a year ago.
I'll give the names again. I know it's a lot to digest if you're just listening. Barkley, Hopkins, Metcalf, Waddle, Jacobs, Connor, Pitts, Zeke, Dobbins, Burrow, Montgomery, Elijah Mitchell, DJ Moore, and Chris Godwin. And I not really counting Chris Godwin, because he's probably a second round pick if he's healthy. But this is the end of round three and all the way through pick 48, 12 team league, the end of round four. So if you're on the clock with the 35th pick, Jamie, and all of these guys are available, who's your absolute favorite?
I mean, obviously, it would depend on what I need.
You've got one wide receiver and one running back at this point.
I have one wide receiver and one running back at this point. I would probably, I mean, if Godwin's available, clearly that's him. Godwin's not available, it'd be between probably Hopkins and DJ Moore in PPR. In half PPR, it'd probably be between Jacobs and Montgomery or Connor. So that's the route I would go. If I had to, you want to make me give you a name, PPR, I would take DJ Moore. Half PPR, I would take Connor.
Does the guy with a 36 pick have two running backs? No. I think my top three would be Montgomery, Connor, and Godwin.
Well, God, yeah. Who else after Godwin?
It's probably, man, I do like the running backs more than I like the wide receivers in that range outside of Godwin. I think DJ Moore I have higher than Metcalf or Hopkins or Waddle right now. So he'd be my next highest wide receiver after Godwin. I would not be taking Pitts in this range, but not, and I wouldn't take Burrow, obviously, but none of the running backs are out of place here.
That's what really jumped out to me. I kind of like the running backs, not all of them, more than the wide receivers on a whole here. And historically, I think that's probably a really bad idea. I just broke it down how good round four has been for wide receivers lately. You get a lot of top 12 finishes at wide receiver in round four, and we know the running back dead zone has begun at this point. But I don't know what it is.
Guess, and I don't know this, but I would guess these drafts have fewer running backs taken in the first 34 picks than our drafts or consensus drafts will by the time we get to August.
Okay, let's filter that. So running backs in the first 34 picks.
Like
one of them is Breece Hall, but he'd be RB 16.
The easiest is what running back number is Barkley?
17.
Okay, so there's 16 running backs taking the first
34
picks.
One of them is Breece Hall, so 15 in the current player pool. And then yeah. Breece Hall is 16.
And then there's four or five quarterbacks.
In how many picks?
Well, Burrow is QB what?
Four.
Okay, so there are three quarterbacks taken before this group.
Yeah, Allen is 23rd, Mahomes 32, Herbert 34. And just two tight ends, I guess. Unless Kittle. Yeah, two tight ends.
Burrow at four, so crazy.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, I guess. Okay, next topic. Let's talk about Amari Cooper, 57th overall. What? Heath, steal of the draft? Amari Cooper, 57th overall?
I mean, I would presume that Brandon Cooks is in the 70s somewhere, so he's probably a better value because he always is.
Will you stop with your just stop with Brandon Cooks for 1 minute, okay?
I would say that, yes, Amari Cooper is a spectacular value there, and I'd feel much better about taking a running back in that round four group if I knew that I could wait another 15 picks and take Amari Cooper with my next pick.
But this is where he'll go if there's a six-game-plus suspension for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. And by the way, Brandon Cooks is 75th.
So yeah, that's my favorite value.
Yeah. Okay, I guess not much really needs to be said there. Good point about the suspension. Where do you think Amari Cooper should go if there's no Deshaun Watson suspension?
Third round.
I would take him ahead of Hopkins and
Metcalf.
And DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, looking at the ADP, how late can you go in average draft position to find a few running backs that you're comfortable with as your RB2?
Well, what kind of RB2 are you talking about? Are you talking about guy that I'm definitely not worried about workload because I built a really good team, or I'm taking a Tony Pollard, AJ Dillon type of guy because I know the rest of my team is good and that guy pops, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. But he's still going to be serviceable enough. So it's like essentially what I guess the question would be is, would you rather have a strong receiver flex and a weaker RB2 as opposed to the other way around?
It doesn't really matter to me, I guess. I'd probably rather have some running back depth.
Well, you could have depth. Like, you know, you could have two or three of these guys. You know, so if, you know, take the typical hero RB route and let's say you go Eckler, round one, receiver, tight end, receiver again, and then you're looking at Kareem Hunt, AJ Dillon, Tony Pollard type of guy.
Yeah, there are three. Go ahead. Yeah.
Looking at this ADP, it looks like round eight is the answer because from pick 84 through 96, you've got Kareem Hunt, Devin Singletary, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Penny, Miles Sanders, Chase Edmonds.
Amazing
those
group.
Guys,
I don't get
yeah,
that.
They're fine.
That's insane. How do you get those guys?
You have to be crazy to take Saquon and Elliott where they're going, knowing that these caliber of players are still available so much later.
And some of that is they do have the rookies in here. So three rookie running backs, Hall, Walker, and Spiller, are all going in the first seven rounds ahead of these guys. But probably they're worried about competition for a couple of them, like showing up on draft day. Yeah. So maybe some of this will shift around after the draft. But yeah, if any of those guys are available in round seven or eight, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. Maybe you try to double dip in rounds seven, eight, nine, as these would be your RBs two and three or no?
Yeah, but this is the perfect reason to go zero RB. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you can end up with two or three of these guys, my gosh.
Well, all right, the guys would be who? Singletary and Hunt, Singletary, Clyde, Penny, Sanders, Edmonds, I mean, Pollard.
They're all there's going to be one of these guys that ends up in the top 15, you know, barring competition and health. Mm-hmm. There's too much upside not to, I mean, you saw it with Singletary last year, you know, Sanders, all he didn't do was score touchdowns. You know, if you had a few more touchdowns in there, you'd certainly feel a lot better. Clyde, health, you know, so there's a lot to like about this group. And yeah. And Kareem Hunt's an injury away from being a top five running back.
Yeah. Singletary is the guy who could swing the most based on the NFL draft. If they don't draft, so many people expect the Bills to take a running back, you know, fairly early. If they don't, Singletary is going to skyrocket. He's not going to be 88th overall, 89th overall. Right. Where do you think he'll end up? Top 50?
60.
Yeah, 55.
If they don't draft a running back before day three, if the Bills don't do that, would you rather have Singletary or Ezekiel Elliott?
Singletary.
I'll go Singletary over Zeke, but I'm extending it to round four.
Okay.
If they take a round four running back, then I'm taking Zeke.
So how about same question, but with wide receivers? How late can you go in ADP to find a few wide receivers that you're comfortable with as your third guy, as your wide receiver three?
I would say same range, right?
I am pulling up the round eight wide receivers, and they are Gabriel Davis, Treylon Burks, Brandt. Nope. There's just no wide receivers going in round eight. like literally. Adam Thielen, though, is right at the end of round seven. Cortland Sutton, Michael Thomas, those guys are round seven picks.
What?
Yeah. I think that's the range right there, because after that, you're getting into the Michael Gallup, the Rashad Bateman, the Rondale Moore. Those guys I like having as a fourth wide receiver or as a flex, but I don't feel good about them as my number three.
Hmm. All right. So if round seven and eight feels like where you could fill out your starting lineup with a RB2 and a wide receiver three, well, I guess you need a flex. How do we draft? Right. If we're working backwards here,
you could well, get first a you have to pick a round one.
All right. I always see if I just used my first round pick more instead of just skipping it, I'd probably do better. yeah. So you could get a tight end. I guess you could get a quarterback and a tight end in your first five or six picks. And then you'd have 2-2. Yeah. This works
perfectly. Well, go back to the Cooper Kupp scenario. So you go Kupp one, mm-hmm. AJ Brown two, Fournette three. What's available in round four?
That was all those running backs that Adam was talking about.
Yeah, but if we skip that group, you could take Kyle Pitts there or another wide receiver like DJ Moore.
Why don't I take Mark Andrews in the third and James Conner in the fourth as opposed to Fournette and Pitts?
Fine. Because this is our shared team and you didn't ask. Yeah, you didn't ask.
But well, I would take AJ Brown over Mark Andrews, so.
Cooper Kupp.
Oh, I thought you could get both. I'm sorry.
All right. Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, Mark Andrews, James Conner.
You just pay us now.
Yeah, it's a good squad. And then in
round five, we're taking Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper.
Brandon Cooks in round six.
So we have three receivers.
No, stop. We're getting our third receiver in round seven or eight. We already established. Let's take a quarterback in round six.
You're not going to like Lamar. ADP for this. Lamar?
Of course. Let's do it. Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson, but Lamar. And then.
Where are we now? Through round six, we have Lamar, Connor, Kupp, Brown, and Andrews?
Yeah.
And Cooper? Or no?
We took Amari Cooper in round five, yeah.
That feels like too many players.
No, we can't have AJ Brown and James Connor.
Yeah, we can.
James Connor.
No, we have Andrews.
Andrews was our third round pick.
Then we can't have Connor.
Yeah, Connor wouldn't make it all the way back to 48, I guess, right? Well, what is he? Yeah, he was 39. Okay. All right. So what are we doing at the end of round four? So we go Cooper Kupp, AJ Brown, Mark Andrews. The end of round four, about 48th overall. We could take David Montgomery. He probably won't get there. Elijah Mitchell or DJ Moore, Chris Terry. I'm not gonna say Godwin. Terry McLaurin, Kittle. What if we do a running back instead of A.J. Brown, Jamie?
You're telling me Kittle's available at the end of round four?
Yeah.
I don't need to take Andrews, probably.
He's in round five.
I would much rather have George Kittle at the end of round four than Mark Andrews in the beginning of round three.
Okay. So we're restarting. Cooper Kupp is our first pick. Then we're going A.J. Brown.
All right, we start pick. Go, Adam. You get the first round.
Cooper Kupp.
You do round two, I'll do round three.
Cooper Kupp.
So I'm picking what number?
23 or 24?
23. Yeah, I'll take AJ Brown.
Okay, so round three, I'll take James Conner.
You could take Antonio Gibson or Aaron Jones.
I'll take Aaron Jones.
Okay. So AJ Brown, Aaron Jones, Cooper Kupp, and I will have the pick at the end of round four, which will be, well, DJ Moore.
I don't know why you are making our team worse than you have to. Why didn't you just take Chris Godwin?
Because I'm not. Because I.
So I will take George Kittle.
No, you have to use the ADP that's available to you. Take Chris Godwin.
All right, Chris Godwin is the layup, but I mean, Chris Godwin is not going to be there.
But you don't know that he's ready for week one, though.
He won't be there. If he's out 3 weeks, he will not be available.
We are drafting a team today, Adam, as people have. That's the ADP we're using.
Chris Godwin.
We are drafting a team today.
Okay. Okay, fine. Chris Godwin.
And I took Kittle.
And then Kittle.
All right, so our team right now through five rounds is Kupp, Brown, Godwin, Kittle, and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's good. And then you have to take a quarterback in round six, which could be Lamar Jackson.
Why do I have to?
It cannot be
this
Lamar Jackson.
Because the exercise that we're doing where we're based on the last
two. I took our fourth receiver for a flex.
And Lamar is at pick 55.
Okay, then so what is that? What round are we in? We're around six. Okay, fine. So Russell Wilson.
No, we don't take quarterback. I'd rather take Brandon Cooks.
No, we have to, because what I was saying is you could take a tight end and a quarterback in rounds one through six at some point. And
but why would you not take the best available player, which could be a flex?
It was an exercise I was doing to show you that based on
the exercise we found is that by this ADP, we do not want to take a quarterback in the first six rounds.
No, because I do. And this is my damn team. So nope.
Brandon Cooks, we have our flex.
But we can get Brandon Cooks. We can get Michael Thomas or Cortland Sutton in the next round. Let's take Russell Wilson here. So, and then Cortland Sutton after that. And then Kareem Hunt or Devin Singletary.
Russell Wilson's pick 65. He would not be there at the end of the sixth round. Stop cheating.
Oh, it is the end of the sixth round. All right. This fell apart. Thanks for listening. Let's read some emails. FantasyFootballCBSI.com. Here we go. From Tom.
This is why we don't share football team.
Yeah. Jeez, three of us, that'd be bad. Tom in a sunny little city with two...
Our baseball team is awesome.
Yeah, Jamie and I have a great fantasy baseball team. Look out. Tom in a sunny little city with two pro football teams and two NBA teams.
A city with two pro football teams and two NBA teams?
Got to be Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. Or New York.
No.
Sunny.
Yeah, and there's really no... football teams in New York City.
Well, they're named New York.
Yeah, but you know it's LA. All right, we're allowed only five keepers from the previous season. It's a full PPR league. So he got David Montgomery and Christian McCaffrey for free off waivers. Wow. He has Jalen Waddle for $1. All right, he wants to know, who would you keep? He's got Kyler Murray, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown, Jalen Waddle, Kamara, McCaffrey, Montgomery, Javonte Williams, Gibson, Kelsey, and Gronk. So pick five there. He's leaning towards Javonte, McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, and then he's kind of torn on the other two between, it's not going to be Kyler, but AJ Brown, Jalen Waddle, Alvin Kamara, David Montgomery, Antonio Gibson, and Travis Kelsey.
Wow. Kelsey and Kamara.
Yeah, I'd go McCaffrey, Montgomery, Javonte, AJ Brown, and Kelsey.
So you'd leave Lamb off.
I think I'd take Kelsey over Lamb.
You take Montgomery over Lamb in a PPR league. Three receiver PPR league.
Yeah, I've got Montgomery in round two and I have Lamb in round three. So
this is from Clayton. Longtime listener from the city, home to the largest monument in the United States.
Washington,
I guess. All right, we get to keep four players each year with no penalty. We can keep them for as long as we want and grade the trade. I give up Josh Allen, Antonio Gibson, and pick 1.7. I get Javonte Williams, pick 1.3, and pick 3.8.
You guys messed up.
It's a one
largest monument is not in Washington.
Oh, where is it?
It's the gateway to the West.
Really? That's bigger than the Washington Monument?
It says the tallest man-made monument in the United States, the Gateway Arch, 630 feet.
Wow. I know how tall the Washington Monument is, 555 feet and 1/5 of an 1/8 of an inch. I remember my tour guide at like 8th grade saying that over and over again. It worked. All right, so the trade is give up.
What's the league?
Josh out. It's a dynasty league.
But one QB or
no? It's not a dynasty league. We get to keep 4 players each year, and there's so this is not rookie picks, and it's not super flex. All right, it's a 4-player keeper league. Give up Josh Allen and Antonio Gibson and the 7th pick. Get Javonte Williams, the 3rd pick, and pick 3.8.
Done. I like Javonte better than Gibson. You're obviously getting a 4-pick upgrade. And
3.8 versus Josh Allen.
And 3.8 versus Josh Allen, yeah.
Okay.
And so that would really be like 7.8 if everybody's keeping 4 players, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean, I don't think we have enough information to grade this trade. Incomplete.
All right, this is from Jason. Hey, Deuce, Rashard, Willie, and Najee. Steelers running backs? Mendenhall, Parker, Harris. Deuce?
Daly?
Deuce Staley. No, he didn't.
No.
Deuce Bettis?
Deuce McAllister was not ever on their team, right?
I don't know. Figure it out, Heath.
What are the names again?
Deuce, Rashard, Willie, and Najee.
The last three definitely seem like Steelers running backs.
How do you not put Bettis on there? Or Franco? I can only keep 4 of these 6 players. It is a standard scoring league. Keepers move up 1 spot from their previous draft position. You cannot keep the first round picks. I have the 11th pick out of 12. Okay, Dalvin Cook for the 11th overall pick. So Dalvin Cook in the 1st round. David Montgomery, he doesn't tell me the rounds. So just pick players, 4 of 6. Non-PPR. Dalvin Cook, 1st round. David Montgomery, T. Higgins, A.J. Dillon, Michael Thomas, Mark Andrews.
Just one?
No, 4. Standard scoring.
Cook, Andrews, Montgomery, and Higgins.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Jason.
Deuce McAllister did not play for the Steelers.
Hmm. Yeah. I have no idea what this is then. Well,
what numbers did they all wear?
Heath, look up their numbers.
Deuce McAllister wore number 26.
Okay.
What was Najee?
I don't remember. Rashard Mendenhall wore number 34 and number 28. So I don't think that's.
Nope.
Is it?
Well, I mean, they're all okay. Najee Harris was number 22. So they're all with, I think these are running backs who all wore jerseys from somewhere between 22 and 34. All right, have a great weekend.
College connection.
Huh?
There's no college connection.
Nope.
We're still on this? All right. Yeah. You know what? Write us back, Jason.
Go back. So round 6. Definitely not taking the quarterback.
I may have it. Oh, no. I was going to say, Deuce McAllister was picked 23rd overall. Rashard Mendenhall was picked 23rd overall. But Najee was 24th. And then I remembered Willie was, I don't think Willie Parker was like a 6th round pick or something, wasn't he?
I think he was undrafted.
Yeah, right. Well, that's it for today's show.
But what did we learn today? Let's recap. What did we learn today?
We learned that everyone's favorite part of the show is probably the 2 to 3 minutes that I was gone. So I'll have to go back and listen to that.
No, we learned that you're not going to watch day 3 of the NFL draft.
That's probably true. I mean, what do I have to watch it for? I just track it on my phone. I don't have to really watch this stuff. I've watched plenty of day 3s of the NFL draft. It's not.
When Heath and I and Dave are doing our show on HQ, you're not going to watch?
Can I tell you the truth? I hope nobody can hear this in my house. Thursday is my wife's birthday. like to do something nice for her, but Thursday and Friday are going to be basically impossible. So I'd like to go out for lunch on Saturday with her and the family and maybe some others.
Why don't you go out for dinner after the draft is over?
Because then because we have to do a podcast when the draft is over. So then
not
it's like
six.
The podcast is at 6.
You're not getting me at Saturday 6.
Oh, I don't know if you're on that one.
I don't think I am. My son's 10th birthday. I'm not doing it.
Right. Okay. So there you go. So we're doing a podcast at some point. I don't know that we're doing a full length show. It might be a
show. Do it later. Who's listening at 6 o'clock?
Will there be more fantasy relevant running backs drafted on day 3 or day 1?
Day 3. Not close.
Yeah, probably. No, I'm going to say day 1.
No one's getting drafted on day 1.
Breece Hall is going to make it into the first round.
No chance.
Well, there are very, very, very few fantasy relevant running backs on day
3. We'll make a bet. This is going to be in your favor. If a running back, no, it's going to be my favorite. If a running back goes in the first round, I cannot give away any podcast league spots. If none go in the first round, I get to give away one.
I'm so sick of you giving away podcast leagues, but you're taking them from the contestants.
I've never given away a bad one.
I don't know what that means. I don't know how you'd measure that.
I've given it away to people that have special circumstances or military members.
Fine.
I get one.
Staley did play for the Steelers. Maybe he just spelled Deuce. I mean, it's spelled wrong in the email.
I don't remember Deuce Staley on the Steelers, so it must not have happened. So this is an invalid email.
All right, so Breece Hall or another running back goes in round 1, then I cannot give away any podcast league spots.
I love it. I love it. It's the only thing I'm going to care about on draft day now. I don't even care about the 5th and the 7th pick anymore.
If no running backs go in the first round, I get to give away 5.
No, 1. You said 1.
No, we said 5. Keith heard it.
We're out of here, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Everybody loves me giving away spots.
We'll talk. Everybody loves me giving away spots, too. But I can't do that because you give them away. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Like
Ryan Wilson. See you later.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.